I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Hey, get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Subscribe on YouTube, like this episode, sign up for the free newsletter, follow all the social media accounts, and generally keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. That's commonfan.co. Also, the holiday season is officially in full gear, Common Fans. The holidays are here, and Oak Barn Beef makes the perfect gift for clients, friends, and family. If you're anything like me, you wait till the last minute to get your Christmas gifts, and there's still time. Oak Barn Beef's bundles are packed with Nebraska-raised, dry-aged beef. It's always a hit and way better than just another gift basket. Go to oakbarnbeef.com to order. That's oakbarnbeef.com, and give a gift that's as genuine as your gratitude. Gentlemen, are we full of gratitude right now, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Where are we on the gratitude meter right now?
I'm at about a six.
Okay.
and that is not related to Husker football. That's just gratitude.
In life.
Blessed in life. Things are going okay, you know.
Okay.
A lot of people going through struggles, the holidays. Nebraska football is not providing me a lot right now.
A lot of comfort.
Talk to me in about a month.
Yeah. Thank God for the men's basketball team.
There you go.
Right. That's there right.
Go. Got it.
For them. Yeah.
Fred's boys have a lot. I was listening to Brian Christopherson on Gary Sharp.
BC.
Our friend of the program. Before, because they had Creighton, then Wisconsin, then Illinois. And Sharp was like, you know, what's the bare minimum? Or like, what's success look like over the next three games? Something like that. And BC said, well, 2-1 would be like great, you know. And I think for most Husker fans, they would like to beat Creighton and then win one of those two Big Ten games. And then BC said, if they're going to go 1-2, you know, I think I would argue it's more important to win one of the Big Ten games. But like, no one was talking about 3-0. Was like 1-2, 2-1 would be amazing. And they just ran off all three. And I mean, they dominated Creighton. They dominated Wisconsin. And then they got off to a huge lead against Illinois. You felt like at their place, that was going to be a
road game. It's going to be a little bit dicey.
And they held off the run at the end and held on for the win.
Right? I'm just here to say I'm glad our boy Camp Pavelka is still with us after that game.
Oh, God.
Dear Lord. I thought we were going to lose him there for a second.
So good. That was Saturday, though. It was like the test, I think, to see just how legit they are.
Yeah.
And they passed that test.
Yep.
And so now it's like, just dream big, Husker fans. What are we talking? Three seed, four seed in March?
No, it's deep run in the tournament.
I'll try. You keep. No, I'm just expecting. I'm expecting a few bumps. I'm expecting a turn for the tournament, mm-hmm. but no, this. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Anyway,
there will be bumps.
This is a Nebraska football pod. The board of directors is probably going to smack us on the wrist. We're talking about a little bit of basketball. Hey, sorry we're a little bit late getting this episode out this week, Common Fans. I know you've become accustomed to Monday morning episodes, but let me tell you, since the season ended, you know, we've all three of us have work travel. We got personal travel. We got all kinds of stuff going on. We're getting this episode out. By the way, before I forget, our friends at the Husker Army podcast are doing a little meet and greet, an autograph session on Sunday, December 21st, offensive lineman Rex Waterman, running back Jamal Rule, tight end Luke Sorensen will all be there. It's at Walk On Cards and Collectibles in Fremont from 2 to 4 p.m., 1020 Sweet. East 23rd Street in Fremont. Again, that's 2 to 4 p.m., and doing a little autograph session. So,
that sounds like fun.
Yeah. Well,
and Fremont's a great town.
Yeah.
I love Fremont. Love Fremont. Mm-hmm. Fremont. Shout out to the guys at the Army podcast, good friends of the program, and just really, they're one of the more positive voices on social media, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Unless they're crap talking Iowa, which I also appreciate.
Go ahead. I'll swing by and sign some autographs as well if they want me to be there. I can do that. I've got a pretty decent following. So
who's that bald guy sitting over there by himself? No one's at his table. No one's. I'll just shoot out Lincoln.
Who's the guy with the sweater?
All right, fellas, we're putting off the inevitable. Dylan Raiola's leaving Nebraska. It's never, first of all, like, it's never dull.
Right.
Right. Something to talk about.
When we do this podcast, and I always think about, there's periods of time, like January, February, not usually a ton going on. You know, March and April, at least there's spring ball. Summer, we're getting ready for football, all that. But like, there's like January, February. Another sneaky one that at least we're only 2 years into this podcast. So for me, I've gone into this dead period between end of the season and the bowl game. Like, you know, we've got to do at least one episode a week. I hope there's enough to talk about. That's never a concern.
No, there's always something.
There's always more to talk about when we have time to talk about it.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. Let's talk Dylan. Immediate reactions. What do you got?
I'll go first. I'm going to go first, Matty. I'm sure you've got some. I'm sure you've got some real in-depth thoughts here. I'm just going to give it to you straight.
I'm sure you will go first.
I'm going to give it to you straight.
Oh no, Jeff. Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
Okay,
no,
thank you. Appreciate it.
Jeff. Give it to us straight.
Can I go? Can I give it to you straight? I'm going to give it to you straight. All right. I got news for you. I don't care. I'm not disappointed. I'm not. I don't care.
Well, because you're the president of the TJ Lateef fan club, so you don't care.
He can go. I'm not upset about it. I'm not mad at him either. I think I want to make that clear too. I don't wish the dude any ill will. He did do some good things when he was here.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, the things that he did off the field are great. For me personally, as a fan of the program, I wasn't seeing what I expected to see from a five-star quarterback this far into his tenure at the university. I'm not mad that he's leaving. I'm not upset about it. And in fact, I'm kind of almost relieved in a way, because I feel like if you look at it from this, would we rather have a five-star quarterback that just isn't working in the system that we're trying to run, or would we take maybe a lesser talented quarterback that maybe does work in a system that we're trying to run? I would probably go for the latter at this point, because at least we could maybe start developing an identity and trying to figure out who we are and move forward from here. So yeah, I wish him, you know, I don't care. I'm glad that I'm glad he's leaving, but I'm just, it's almost like a sense of relief that I don't have to sit here and worry what's going to happen next with this guy, because it just got to a point where it was like blind loyalty that we could speak no ill of Dylan because of his last name and how many stars he had behind his name. So I think we're going to be fine. I'm not mad. I don't really care, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Woo. Geoff and Lincoln coming in hot. Matty-o.
Coming in hot. You know, I'm kind of with Jeff, although I'm thinking about it a little bit differently. Like, I think when
you've always been a Raiola homer. Sorry, go ahead.
Me?
Kind of.
Yeah, you.
Well, you know, I think you have to embrace what you've got.
Yeah.
And I think initially, his first year, his freshman year, I was kind of, I don't say worried or concerned is a weird word to use, but You know, when you got that high profile of a kid coming in to a roster, I always think about, okay, how's the team receiving him? Okay, older guys, guys have been there a long time. I always kind of wondered how the high profile, all the Mahomes cosplay stuff, how that plays in the locker room. Okay. And you wonder how much they aren't, you know, you don't get told too. Like, where's the truth? Like, you know, it always seemed to be a way that the coaches would just compliment Dylan like crazy. You know, the media is always asking about Dylan. You know, he's that high profile. He's the face of the team from the player side of things. And it was always good things, you know, and never say, look, finally, I felt like it wasn't until just a few weeks ago when Rule was basically said when he was, you know, was asked about Dylan and kind of if he's coming back, and he kind of was finally like, hey, Dylan's got to make a jump. Dylan's got to be better.
Yeah.
And finally it kind of felt like, okay, now the kid gloves are off. I think there's probably more behind the scenes that we don't know.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I wonder how much was known by the Rayola team when going back to Dayton decommitted, or like even initially right before that, did they know what they were doing when that happened? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, like I said on one of the previous shows, what, you know, it's the chicken and the egg thing. Is it we're firing Donovan, and then if Dylan leaves, he can leave, or is we know Dylan's leaving, so we fire Donovan? There's probably something there, right? I'm fine with it. Because my reason is, now when we're paying these guys, these kids, he's not worth what we were paying him. At least his performance on the field did not match what he was receiving in compensation. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm of the frame of mind, can we go get a more of a blue collar quarterback that maybe doesn't need to be the high profile face of the team, and we can pay him significantly less and get better results as a team.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at. I wasn't surprised that he was leaving. I was kind of planning on it all along. Yeah. You know, basically from November, basically from when Dayton decommitted.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm at. Like, let's use that roster cap space, so to speak. Let's go use that for multiple guys that we need to shore up our team.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm with Jeff. Like, Dylan, there was good things that came from Dylan being here. We got a few more players probably that we wouldn't have gotten, especially at receiver. You know, it kind of puts a little bit more of a microscope on Nebraska. We get a high profile guy like that, and it shows that we are able to do that, although there is that family connection. But I just think maybe the experiment was tried and it was worth the try. And now it's just kind of time to move on from that whole thing.
Yeah. I think it helps. I think about it. I was thinking about this morning. It helps that we're a few years into this transfer portal world, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a sweet spot for several years there where I was following all the recruiting stuff, and I knew about everybody like we were in on, and I had subscriptions to 247 and Husker Online and all those. And first of all, I just don't have time for that anymore. but second of all, what the transfer portal era has sort of caught, maybe not for everybody, like for me, I just sort of like, just tell me when the team's on campus.
When we snap the ball.
Even when you have a great high school recruiting class or a great transfer portal class, that's your guarantee of nothing. That's your team for 1 year, maybe, if they all show up and stay, right? And then then somebody's going to be looking for more money the next year. Troy Dan, the athletic director, just said this week, more guys are going to enter the transfer portal. It's the world we live in. And so I feel like I've had this like desensitizing process where, not that I don't care about these kids, and a lot of them I think gave it their all, you know? But if I was 20 years old and had been through two or three years of college football, and somebody said, you could potentially make $500,000 more on the open market at another school, of course you're going to listen to that, you know? So that's where I start, is like, I feel like 5 years ago, Nebraska gets a 5-star. We're talking ourselves into, he's only going to get better and better. Transfer portal is not a thing yet, or however many years ago that was. I think the sky would be falling.
Yeah, it'd be devastating.
The sky would be falling, yeah. Right? It'd be devastating. Now it's just like, this is the world we live in. That's part. I also think we need to start, and you guys have kind of both hinted at that. There's some like conspiracy stuff going around social media or some anger or whatever. Let's start with what we know, because very few people actually know, right?
Yeah.
You might think you have got the inside scoop because somebody said it on a message board or whatever. Very few people actually know. And maybe more of the story will come out at some point. Let's talk about what we know. He always represented the program well.
He did.
He always went and took questions, answered questions, took responsibility when he needed to be playing better. Nebraska football hadn't made a bowl game in almost a decade before his arrival. We've now made two in a row, mm-hmm. Right? He was, you know, I think Mitch, when he talked to us, called him the front man of the program. Since his arrival, he was at Nebraska basketball games and Nebraska volleyball games and other events with Emmett and others too, but he was out in the community. I don't think we can question his effort or his intentions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he gave it his all for 2 years at Nebraska. I really believe that's true. And like you said, Matty O, he was super active in recruiting some guys that I think otherwise wouldn't have been on the roster.
Yeah.
He did everything you probably want him to do, right? I think a couple things. One, yeah, he's a five-star, and maybe he'll go somewhere else. He'll punch up where he's just surrounded by a better offensive line and better skill players, and maybe he'll make a huge leap in year three, and it'll be a team that's, you know, a playoff team or a borderline playoff team. That'll probably sting.
No, he will. I just want to make it abundantly clear. That will happen. You know, yeah, that's right. Going to happen, right?
But
I'm not convinced.
That's just not where Nebraska was when he arrived. And it was probably, you know, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm letting Rule and company off the hook. It was maybe a little too much to think that we could get there in 2 or 3 years. Right.
Yeah.
I think we'll get into this in the offseason. One could argue very strongly it should have been better than 7-5 this year for sure.
Yep.
But, you know, Sharp made this point too. What if he hadn't gotten hurt against USC and we win that game and we win one more and they're 9-3? He's actually more valuable in the transfer portal then, right? So like,
yeah, he's probably going anyway.
He's probably going anyway, right? So you tip your hat to the kid. You say, and it's just this transactional world that we live in. Now, one thing that Sharp talked about that I found really interesting, it was a segment he did. We're recording this on Wednesday. It's coming out Thursday. So this was a segment he did, I think, on Tuesday. He said Matt Rhule is taking his program back. So one thing he did suggest was that, I don't think it's much of a secret anymore. Multiple people have talked about how Dylan went out, kind of dipped his toe in the water of what was out there after last season, after mm-hmm. the 2024 season.
Yep.
Nebraska had to pony up some more money and to keep him. I think that grates on some people. That grated on me, to be honest. But you say, well, it's the nature of the beast. It's the world we live in now.
Business.
And you
don't you think that, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but don't you think that some of that anger or frustration with that and with the money business part of it is some of us Husker fans think that because Dom is a Husker legend, he's not going to be bending the athletic department over the barrel to say, hey, we need more money. Like, I think there's some of that, and whether it's valid or not, but I think that's there.
I think it's there. I think that's a real point of the, I think that's a real common fan perspective, Matty O. I really do, but it's not, I'm sorry, it's not the world we live in.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
And so there's that. And then Sharp just kind of suggests again, both sides wanted to make this work. Right. It would have been better for both sides if Dylan had been a little better and if Nebraska had been a little better. It would have been better for everyone, right?
Right.
Right.
But like Sharp's point was that Dom maybe was a little too involved. TJ, why am I losing this? The sort of the whole Dylan thing was just sucking too much oxygen out of the room. And so Sharp suggested that it was Nebraska who moved on from Dylan, and Sharp, you know, that Rhule went down and had a tough conversation with the family about Dayton.
And I think Dayton's to date, his two other offers are like what, Appalachian State and Chattanooga or something.
Yeah.
For real. Like, so I think it was just like 2 years of this. I love you, Dylan, but we don't have more money for you.
Right.
And I'm exhausted and it can't be all about like we've got, this is a very make or break, like Rule's probably not going to get fired unless they go 1-11 or something, but like very important year for Matt Rule. And I think
time is of the essence.
We're not going to be held over the coals anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't have more money for you. We've been stringing Dayton along and we've been carrying Uncle Donnie along and I'm not going to do these things anymore. There's a real scenario where all that is true.
I almost hope that part of it is true, because if it is, Matt Rule, we'll extend him again if he did that, because that's the most I would say I feel like sometimes we're handcuffed to this last name and that we have to bend the knee to them at all times and do whatever they want. And if it is in fact Rule's choice and decision to kind of go against that and just say, hey, we got to do our own thing here, extend the man even more, give him 10 more years. I like the stones he has, like, there. That's
true leadership, right?
Yeah, it like, is being the leader, the boss.
No one can be above the team.
Right? Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and then, I mean, the other thing is like, we've talked about this offense for 3 years now of the Rule era. Still not sure exactly what you want it to be. I don't think, look at TJ Latif, dual threat guy, Trey Taylor in the class of 27, dual threat guy.
Mm-hmm.
Even Jeff Sims, who was a disaster, was a dual threat guy. So I don't know that they're going to spread it out like Chip Kelly and run, you know, they're not going to do necessarily all of that type of stuff, but Dylan is different from those guys. So you also had a scenario where it's like, you can't not take the five-star quarterback with the connections. I mean, probably not in on him without the dad connections. So you can't not do that. But then also did that kind of stunt whatever growth or development the offense could have had, because you were trying to fit a square peg into a round hole with Dylan's skill set is different. And what he probably wants out of the offense is different. It's just, there's just a lot. It feels freeing. It feels freeing.
Yeah,
it does. It's liberating. Damn it. We're a big boy program. We can stay on our own. We don't have to have Dylan. That's why I said, I'm not upset. Good for him. Go on, do your thing. But we're not relying upon just that one person. And again, I feel like if we can find a person with less stars behind their name that fits them, what we're trying to do, I think we're going to be better for it anyways.
Yeah.
Well, Maddie, were you going to say something?
No, I was just thinking about how I saw a tweet about how we're all now free from pretending that the whole Mahomes cosplay thing isn't.
I did see that too.
Which I thought was hilarious.
It is funny. I'm not going to give him a hard time about that, but that is funny that, like, immediately the second he mentions the intentions of leaving, people are like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, thank God. That was weird, wasn't it, guys? That was weird.
you can leave, but we're not defending the Mahomes stuff anymore.
No, we're done with that. Wish you all the best. Wish you all the best.
Scorned lover.
Well, and this is not an original thought. Many have made this point, but the number I've heard is $3.5 million. So if we're really contributing $3.5 million to Dylan Raiola in NIL funds and revenue sharing and however it shakes out, that can get you some really good defensive linemen. Right?
That could pay for like 5 players.
Yeah, right. I could play for some really good players. Supposedly we have more resources on top of what we had before as well.
Sure.
So it's going to be huge. I think this portal season is going to be massive for Rule. That's the other piece of this equation. Yeah. Let's pivot to that actually, guys, because Emma Johnson's off to the NFL. We all love EJ forever. God bless him. Good luck. And don't blame him for going to the NFL.
No.
But that's 80% of your offense the second half of the season, right? Especially the second season. Royal is gone now.
So before you saying that, I have a question. Excuse me. Pardon my ignorance. But in every headline, it says intends to enter the transfer portal. Would there ever be a scenario where he wouldn't do it? I'm just curious because I don't know enough about the transfer portal. It just says intends to. It doesn't say he's entered. Would he ever just not do this?
I think
that even a possibility.
Only scenario is like all the suitors that he has aren't willing to pony up the amount of money that he's asking for. And if that's the case, he's not going to come back and be willing to take less money than what they initially asked for.
I was just curious because, like, what if nobody wants him? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm sure there's a team out there that would take him, but, like, I've heard, like, things about Oregon going to Oregon, and I just don't see why Oregon would want Dylan Raiola now.
The other part of the whole thing is he's coming off a pretty significant injury.
Yeah.
Like, he's starting out spring ball. Like, is he going to be recovered enough to even be a part of spring ball somewhere?
Yeah.
So that part of it, I'm like, maybe they shouldn't, you know. And if they did go ahead and ask for money, which I don't doubt they probably did, you know, I'd probably do it for my kid. But, like, that should be part of the equation. Like, you're really willing to leave, go start over somewhere else, and, oh, by the way, with an injury that you're rehabbing, and in spring ball, who knows if you'll even be able to compete if you're in a quarterback competition for a starting job. There's a lot of unknowns for them too.
Yeah, true.
And, like, the last thing I had seen is, like, a male, like, there might be some interest from Louisville. Is Louisville a step up from Nebraska? I mean, no, they've been pretty good lately, but, like, to me, in terms of program and conference and all that stuff, that's not a step up.
Yeah,
at Louisville. And does Louisville have $3.5 million to pay for a quarterback? Maybe they do. I don't know, but I think it's gonna be interesting to see where he lands.
Okay.
Yeah. I suppose, Jeff, I think there is a scenario, Jeff, where, like, that has happened before. It happened with Emmett last year.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure, new offensive coordinator, felt like he was being underutilized, looked around in the portal, Dana convinced him to come back, basically. So there are scenarios where that happens.
Yeah.
I think part of the reason people write it that way is because the portal doesn't open until January 2nd, so you can't enter the portal yet, technically.
Right.
This would feel really weird if he came back.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like everyone is like,
we're moving on. Like,
mom and dad are getting divorced. The papers aren't signed yet, but I don't think dad's moving back yet. You know, that would just be really cool.
Dad's already been courting all sorts of suitors.
Kids, this is not, let me reiterate. This is not your fault. This is not your fault, kids.
Dad already bought jewelry for his new girlfriend.
Okay. So another thing, another word that's been thrown out, Sipple had an article about this, and again, Gary Sharp mentioned it too, is the word reset. Okay.
Yeah.
Are we looking at a reset year in 2026? And how, so, like, and what do we mean by reset? Right.
Yeah.
Not the same as rebuild, right?
Are we resetting the 3-year cycle? So do we have to wait 6 years now to get to that 3-year leap? Is that what they're saying? They better not be saying that.
This morning before school, and I'm not sure why it came, Michael in particular is obsessed with sports, so it's probably why it came up, but he's like, Dad, I don't know if Nebraska's going to be very good this next year. They lost Emmett, they lost Dylan, and their schedule so hard. And I was like, well, Michael, it's a rebuild, but we never got to the top of the mountain where you can accept a rebuild. Like, it's a rebuild from mediocrity.
And we're still rebuilding.
A little bit of gallows humor. Yeah. But I do think,
I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy.
This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
I keep referencing Gary Sharp. I've just been listening to him a lot lately.
Oh, he's great. Gary's the best.
He's so great. And he's like, it can be exciting or it can be perilous. Hey, right? Like, but it does feel like they've got to hit on most of their portal additions. You can't go get four defensive linemen and two of them never play.
Right.
You can't do that. Right.
Yeah.
You'd rather get fewer guys, spend money on fewer guys and have them all be contributors. Right. Mm-hmm. Holgorsen said, you know, you're going to go get a quarterback. You got to get the best available. He says a general philosophy, you always get the best available. So for maybe that means a more senior guy who competes for the starting job right away or has the job right away. Maybe it's someone who's backing up Latif. Like nobody knows, right? They need it for depth no matter what, right?
Mm-hmm.
I tend to think, I mean, Latif probably came in assuming Dylan was going to be there at least 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Again, who knows what's going to happen? But assuming Latif sticks around, you got to compete for the job everywhere. I think you go try and get somebody who you say, that's a guy who can be a starter. We're not saying for sure you will be the starter over TJ Latif, but that's a guy who can be the starter. And then we've got two guys, one with starting experience and one, hopefully the other one coming in has starting experience somewhere else. Like you got to go get at least one QB. There might be two quarterbacks.
Yeah, you said it right there, Matt. Sorsby.
The two names I've been hearing a lot are, and this is, I think, just fans saying who they'd like to see us go get, mm-hmm. is Brennan Sorsby or Sam Levitt of Arizona State. And I think both.
Can Levitt run? I actually don't know anything about Levitt.
He can. He's not a runner, but he can run if needed. I remember watching them last year towards the end of the year. He's got enough. He's got more juice than Dylan if he needs to tuck it and go.
Does Jeff Sims have any eligibility left after this year?
Oh, God. That's the...
I'm just asking.
But I think like that's the thing. Like you have to hit. I think you'll get a 1 year guy, knowing that Trey Taylor seems to be all in, and he's coming. In, yeah. He's a class of 27. So then you get. I think you get a 1 year guy that's going to come in and start this year, and just be 1 year. And then you're looking at okay, now TJ Latif's been here. This is his third season. I'm talking about a whole year down the road. Third season in the program. Then you got Trey Taylor coming in, and they compete for the starting job. Right? I think that's the way you go.
But I think they need, let's say they do that, then you've got Latif and this Marcus Davila or whatever his name is, who came in from Purdue, who didn't even, you know, I think he was like fifth on the depth chart this year. You might need one more for depth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, this Grahamstad never ended up playing much, but that was kind of a perfect fit. Came in, knew he was never going to be the starter, but probably could have handled the offense if we needed him to, wants to be a coach someday, all that stuff. Maybe you can find someone like that to come be a backup as well.
Yeah.
But sure. I mean, it's just, they got to hit on at least one quarterback. I mean, we love TJ on this show, but
absolutely
like got to hit on one quarterback at least. Ideally, again, I think there's some promise in that running back room, but none of those guys appears poised to take over the job like Emmett was after 2024. I think you got to hit a home run on a running back or two. And then I think, again, we'll see what would they lose in the portal, because that's a big piece of this too. I think it's all about the trenches. And especially, yeah. It's all about the front seven on defense. We talked about this before. Defensive linemen, linebackers in particular. And then maybe is there one or two offensive linemen and or are some of these young guys rule recorded recruited boatloads of offensive linemen in every class since he's been here, four, five, six guys per class. Are some of those third and fourth year guys ready to take over?
Developed, ready to rock. I would hope so.
And maybe Jeep Wade, the new offensive line coach, it's really valuable that he's here for the bowl practices. Maybe he's saying, hey, we got what we need right here. I don't know, but maybe a different set of eyes, you know, better a line coach, whatever.
I love that soft G on Jeep. I love it. God, it's great.
Bet you do.
Just love G that soft off. G. It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic.
But I think so. But okay, guys. So let's take this one step further. And we'll talk about this all off season. But the 2026 schedule
includes Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon.
Yeah.
The three Big Ten teams represented in the playoff.
Who?
They were also all in the playoff last year.
Yeah.
Like, those programs are all cooking with gas.
Mm-hmm.
We're at Illinois, which is tough. It hasn't been an easy out since
Burt,
or since even before that for Nebraska, sadly. Mm-hmm. We're at Iowa for that one.
Yep.
Well, they seem like, I'll never let go of the fact that we should have won 23 and 24 against Iowa, and then it would have stung less. Anyway, they seem to have, you know, bounced back this year. Who knows what they'll be next year? Who am I missing? Washington. Washington was, what, an 8 or 9 win team this year.
Yeah.
I mean,
you look at that schedule, good luck finding 6 sure wins.
Yeah, oh, for sure, dude. Like, already in my head, I'm envisioning that Steve Carell from The Office just, it's over. We're screwed. Like, next season is looking bleak right now. Just in the it was going to be a tall order to have success next year if nothing changed with the roster. And now with the stuff that we have going on, we'll talk about a lot in the offseason, but it's not looking great, guys. It's not looking great. That's going to be a rough go.
And I think for me, I just hope that, knowing all that, and if the schedule does end up being what we think it is,
mm-hmm.
right now, because, you know, things change, injuries happen, you know, coaching changes happen when we don't expect it. Teams aren't as good as we thought they were. But right now, even if you take out one or two of those, it's still a tough schedule.
For sure.
I hope that we are reasonable enough as Husker fans to be satisfied with 7-5 again next year. And with the footnote that schedule was an absolute beast.
So that's where I wanted to go with this, Matteo. So, like, I think that's based on the 2025 season. That's right. Right. But, you know, we're looking at year 4 and we're on our third defensive coordinator. You know, we've switched out offensive and special teams coordinators.
Not a sign of stability.
We fired our offensive and defensive line coaches. And, you know, we've been rule homers. I think the last thing this program needs is more instability with, you know, no one is saying to fire Matt Rhule, even if he goes 6-6 mm-hmm.
or whatever. No.
But it just feels like this is what we talked about after the Iowa game, the until further notice episode. It just feels like in an ideal scenario, he's been here for 3 years. You kind of more and more momentum every year. The program feels like it's getting better and better. And we rolling into year 4 with that difficult schedule saying, hey, let's let the chips fall where they may.
Sure.
And it feels like the program is not there. And it feels like the fan base in particular is not in a particularly optimistic place.
And nor should they be. I mean, if you were looking at this from the outside, say you're not a Husker fan and you're just looking at what's going on at Nebraska from the outside looking in, I would be the first one to be like, this program is a dumpster fire right now. They've got their quarterback that's got the university ties leaving. They're firing coaches left and right all over the place. Nothing's working. They're not really, the record's not necessarily improving year to year. As common fans as we are, it's tough to stay positive and constantly look on the bright side. So I don't blame people for not being, I honestly don't blame people if they say that Matt Rhule needs to go. I'm saying that he doesn't, but I could kind of have some empathy towards the people that do. I understand why. I get it. So it just doesn't look good when you look at everything that's going on right now. Things just don't look great.
Yeah. And I see that. But I don't know. I think in terms of coaches being fired and players leaving, I think that's happening everywhere. I mean, even teams that have had what we would consider a pretty dang good season, guys are still opting out of the bowl game to go pro. Guys are still entering the portal.
Yep.
Like that part. But I don't know. We are just quick to forget that, you know, you use the word dumpster fire, Jeff. A dumpster fire was Scott Frost at Nebraska. That was a good, that was a damn dumpster fire.
That was a plane crashing into the side of a mountain.
Convincing ourselves that we were the best 3-9 team in the history of college football.
Albeit
tongue in cheek, but like nothing good happened when Scott Frost was the coach here for 4+ seasons. Granted, he got a fifth season after some of the worst football that these two eyes have seen played on a Nebraska football
game. That's a good point. Like, you can say, like, and
we're having our back-to-back bowl games, and we're like talking about, should we fire the guy? Because our last two games of the season were terrible.
Yeah.
And I think perspective is very, very important here.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, we are as Husker fans, and God bless us with our short memories. We are so quick to forget how bad it was before Rule took over. Is the progress happening as quickly as we would like it? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But there is progress, albeit it's a slow, slow burn. There's progress. I really truly think if we were 7-5 and it wasn't because teams just ran the ball all up and down and around us and up our butts, then it would be different. The fact that teams ran for 180, 200 yards easily, that when we are as talented, or just, they're just a little more talented than us, and we just got pushed around like we're just a bunch of chumps, that's where I think me and a lot of other people are like, hey, get a tourniquet on this thing right now and fix that defense. Get our identity back of being tough, because it was there for a few years. It was there under Coach Rule. So was it the defensive coordinator change? Was it the players that we had? Was it a combination of both? I think it's a combination. So now, I think it is a reset in 2026. The resets are different now too. Like, the resets are different. Like, you add three or four guys in the portal and you're like, holy crap, now we got a really good defense. And we just change our scheme a little bit to fit more what our players are, instead of, like you said, TJ, about the offensive side, forcing square peg and round hole. Like, cater your player, like, do what you think your players will fit for, more so than here's my system, let's try to use these pieces for it.
Well, I think that's the key point, Matty O, and that's you kind of gave both sides of the coin there in a very eloquent way, I might add.
Thank you.
I think the reason it's so, you're right. He went 5-7, then he went 6-6, then he went 7-5. That's progress. Two bowl games in a row. That's progress. He did take over after the worst period in arguably in Nebraska history. He has stabilized some things, and he's not standing pat like we always talk about, right? So all of those things are good things. Those are progress. I think the hard part for Husker fans is we had something to hang our hat on those first 2 years, and it was that defense. It was a really, really good defense, really good rushing defense. And it was like, okay, Rule's always going to have this really great defense, and that'll keep you in every game. Once we fix special teams and just improve the offense even somewhat, then this thing can, really start humming. So I think what's distressing for fans was, that the first 10 games, you could tell yourself the defense is doing enough. We said that more than once. And then and the rushing defense wasn't good. Then the bottom fell out when we played Penn State and Iowa. And so I think that's what makes fans feel like are we back to square one? Nowhere. Yeah. Yep. But you really summed it up really well, Matty O. Like, was it Butler running Tony White's scheme, he obviously was a great secondary coach for the Buffalo Bills. So they were really good at that. But maybe they were missing some other things. Was it, and I don't even want to say talent, Keona Davis, Williams Winery, Riley Van Poppel. I think those guys are talented enough to play in the Big Ten. They're all really young.
Yeah.
Maybe some of that. So some of it's maybe personnel. Maybe they whiffed on a couple guys in the portal that we've talked about, a couple guys that we were excited about from the portal kind of never showed up, right?
All right.
Well, there's probably a lot of different things there. Hopefully, I agree with you, get back to that defensive identity. And maybe the offense still hasn't been great, right? Like, it wasn't that very average this year. I think I saw somewhere that total 81st in total offense or something. So, like, Holgorsen wasn't sort of a silver bullet that fixed everything, but maybe with a quarterback who's more along the lines of what you want, and maybe they'll just be kind of freed up to run what they want to run on offense, get back to your identity on defense. And I think I think it comes back to what we've talked about many times. Husker fans are really knowledgeable football fans, and we saw really good football for a long time, and we know what that looks like. Yeah. If we see closer to that in 2026 and they go 7-5, then I think people will be okay with that. It's going to, getting to 7-5 even is going to require beating Washington or Illinois or Iowa. Like, I think as, you win, you got to win all the games you're supposed to, which I think is Maryland, Rutgers, and Michigan State. And again,
the non-con. Yep.
And then the three non-cons are cupcakes.
Action.
Maryland, Rutgers, and Michigan State. To your point, Matty O, about you never know which teams could take a step back unexpectedly. Michigan State just hired Pat Fitzgerald.
Yeah, it's a great hire.
I know. Maybe one of those teams will take. You never know, right? You never know. But yeah, those are the three most winnable. I do that in quotes. Most winnable games. Mm-hmm. And then you're 6-6. Can they win one?
Couple?
Can they win one or two of Iowa, Illinois, Washington, and or can they pick off one of the big guys? You know, like, it still doesn't have to be freaking. They somehow won 8 games next year. Everybody will lose their minds, right?
Yeah,
so, and that could just involve beating. Maybe Illinois will take a step back. Who knows how good Washington is? Maybe you win, or maybe you finally beat Iowa in one of those other two. Like, it doesn't have to be magic. It doesn't have to be Kurt Cignetti magic next year.
See, I was going to say that. The one thing that sucks is, why did Indiana have to happen? Is I feel like that does set this crazy bar in a lot of unreasonable Husker fans' heads that we should be in the playoff the second that we hire Matt Rhule. Indiana happening really just, I think, sucked for our fan base because it just sets such a high bar, I think, now. Whether it's like it shouldn't, but it naturally just happens when you see another shitty program take off like that immediately. Your first instinct is, why not us? And I get it. It's an anomaly, but I just wish it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of other teams that are thinking the same exact thing, Jeff. Like, hey, Kurt Cignetti did it at Indiana. Why didn't our guy work? Or why can't we have the same thing happen in a one off season turnaround and we're in the CFP?
Yeah.
It's just a whole like unicorn situation.
So I like that we're simply using the word reset. I'm going to give you a video game reference. I'm going to give you a video game reference here, TJ, whether you like it or not. It is like a reset. You know, back on like the old school Nintendo, you'd be playing like the old original NES. You'd be making progress on your level, moving along. And like somebody like a sibling would walk by and actually bump the console. You remember when it would just freeze up like that? If anybody like remote, that's where the Huskers are at. We're moving along. Boom, we kind of froze. We're stuck right now. You know what we do? We take that freaking cartridge out. We blow in it. We shove it back in the console. And then we take off from there and win this thing Contra style. So let's freaking go.
I don't know. I don't really know what you're talking about, Jeff.
I know you don't. But I know our audience does. You know what I'm talking about, common fans.
I know. I get that reference.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you still spend like way too many hours playing video games for.
I've got an N64 right over here in the corner. If anybody wants to do some GoldenEye,
I do get that reference.
Okay, good. That's where we're at.
I think that's where we're at. We're going to talk about all this ad nauseum in the off season, and I think I don't know. Well, we'll talk about the bowl game on the next episode, but would love to see them find a way in the bowl game, or at least like let's see some signs of progress. Right. Like, let's see them. Hey, we figured something out to stop the run a little bit more than we had been. We're within 7 in the fourth quarter or something.
Yeah.
Right. I hate to talk about it like that. I'd love to think we can win and maybe we can, but Utah's pretty dang good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's Whittingham's last game there.
Yep.
Apparently, which is like totally obnoxious. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. Like, I was thinking about that this morning and I'm like, you know, I'm not expecting them to win, but can we just make it interesting?
Right.
Like, I think for most of us that are reasonable, that would be impressive enough to be like, geez, you know, Utah is one of the tougher teams in all of college football year in and year out. One of the grittiest, toughest, smash you in the mouth. That's how they play. If we can withstand some of that and make it interesting, I'm considering it
moral victory.
Moral victory. Thank you, General. Moral
victory. We're back to they're
right outside
moral victory. Oh, dear Lord.
Well, probably pretty close to playoff caliber.
Yeah.
Because you take the JMUs of the world out of the playoff, they're probably a top 12 team.
Get them out of there.
Right? Or close, or pretty close. They're certainly better than Notre Dame. One other thought. Michigan is disgusting.
Yeah, that's kind of a mess, huh?
And we don't need to focus on Sharon Moore and his antics, and he's probably going to end up in prison. But the fact that the AD, didn't he know about this situation going back to like September? And look, there's like spouses and children involved here. And like you send, you, sounds like he had a meltdown when everything started coming out. You send prayers. Nobody wants anybody to get hurt in all of this. And you hope that he can right the ship, that Sharon can right the ship personally and all of that. But first of all, we've all had to endure Michigan cheating to win a national championship. And then their fans like unapologetically embracing that. And like, I would be so uncomfortable if Nebraska had won a national championship. And then the way that they did it, it came out that the way they did it was like what Michigan did. I would be so uncomfortable, like celebrating that national championship if Nebraska. Yeah. And then on top of this, like, again, it's the guy, whatever, was doing whatever outside of his marriage. And you never know what's going on with people. And I'm not going to sit here in judgment of, I don't know. Nobody, you also don't know the full story. But the fact is, someone involved was an employee of the university and I believe a direct report of his or of the football program. So then it crosses professional lines. Then like there's more stuff at play here. And the university, like, I don't know if he had beaten Ohio State, do they not come out with it? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It just like Michigan never, ever has the high ground ever again.
No. Well, and there's the whole thing of them knowing about it and not firing him, letting signing day go ahead and take place and let all those kids sign on the dotted line. And then a few days later, they fire their coach. Now all those kids are like, well, now what am I supposed to do? You know, I signed there and now I don't know who's going to be my coach.
They can probably get released, but like everybody else has filled their rosters now.
Right.
You know?
I think they get, it's something like they get a 15-day window or something after the new coach is announced, I think is the rule. And then they can decide if they want to transfer elsewhere. But I mean, that's so sleazy. Like you're talking about, I mean, granted, we talked about it ad nauseum. It's a new world. Guys transfer like every year now, but there are still high school kids that are signing to that program and they plan on being at that program.
Right.
For the duration.
Right.
So you are basically, that is somebody's life. Like you are affecting other people's lives by you choosing not to divulge that information that you've had for a couple of months.
Yep.
Like I think it was reported the one thing that I saw is like the athletic department was notified in like September. Right.
Right.
And then you're willing to like just let that slide and kind of wait till the season plays out to see like what, if you're going to do anything about it. Like I'm with you. Like if they beat Ohio State, is he still working there? And that they sweep it under the rug.
Right.
Like it wouldn't surprise me.
No.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Leaders and best, Michigan. That's us. Leaders and best. What a crock of shit. They are so gross.
They are so disgusting.
And the Big Ten. I know we've been in the Big Ten for like damn near 15 years now, but there is some sort of weird sexual perversion in the Big Ten that I don't think we're a part of. Like there's been weird Michigan State stuff, weird Michigan stuff, Ohio State, and like all the weird wrestling stuff way back when. Like the Big Ten is in Penn State. Like it's all just weird, bunch of perverts. God, if we're real Christian, God fearing people, we move back to the Big 12, boys. back to the dirty oil money.
Yep.
Yeah. I miss the days when all we had to deal with was dirty oil money.
Just Texas.
And Oklahoma players shooting up. You know, and doing steroids, right?
Yeah, Brian Bosworth showing up in a mink coat. You know, it's the good old days.
Mm-hmm. Good old days. Simpler times.
Oh my gosh. Well, at least I don't have a lot to say for Michigan, but it still might not be as bad as opting out of your bowl game. That's all I'd say.
What the hell? Let me give you a little something there too. I'll give you a little something there. Hey, Dylan Raiola, I got news for you. Notre Dame, we don't want you. Okay, we're fine where we're at. We don't need Dylan Raiola. Even if you try, you're not coming here, okay?
Nobody cares, Jeff. Nobody cares what Notre Dame wants. All right, Common fans. We will be back. So, yeah, again, sorry this episode is late this week. Our deepest apologies. We should have one more episode out before Christmas. And then, one more before the bowl. So we should have a couple more episodes out before the bowl game. I have no doubt there will be plenty more to talk about.
There's lots to talk about.
Not next week.
What's that?
Something will happen every week up until we record it. It will. News will break.
Any final thoughts, guys?
Oh, hey, I wanted to say this. I told my son, I don't think he listens to every episode not every episode for sure. Occasionally my son, Maddie Jr. did a project at school. He had to design a website and he chose to design a Common Fan website. So they made the website and information about us and what the podcast is about and all those things. And he showed it to me. I thought it was really cool. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Maddie Jr.
Was it just
Maddie like Jr.?
What's the graphic awesome. Design? Can we actually visit the site?
He pulled out some, like our logo and some things from the website and put them onto his website. And that's kind of what he did.
But can we visit? Is it an actual site we can visit? Or is it the design? Just the graphic design?
I think it's just the design. It's some portal that the kids can log into or something.
That's awesome. Put them on payroll.
That's cool, Matty-O. That's right. Well, give him some socks.
He's already got like three pairs, but I'll give him another pair just for this.
Give him some Oak Barn beef.
There you go. How about I just feed and clothe him like I've been doing?
It'd be nice if you could start doing that, man.
Yeah.
All right, Common fans. Shout out to Maddie Jr. That's fantastic.
Definitely.
Hey, Common fans, be kind to each other. We'll be back at you very soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that. Put them in the aisles.
And Nebraska takes the lead. And the national championship is Nebraska's.
Hockey fans, can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.